Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, we call upon you this morning to keep your promises, and we know you will, that where your word goes forth, it will not return to you void, but it will work then this morning in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Our scripture lesson for this morning has some of the necessary elements to make a great movie. For example, there's a demon-possessed guy in our story. And of course, there's been plenty of movies made about demon-possessed people. It has a protagonist, that would be Jesus, and has some antagonists, and in fact has a whole crowd of antagonists, a crowd of people who are starting to get worked up a little bit, and of course there's been no shortage of crowds that are getting worked up in the movies, has there been. But one thing about this passage is missing that would be vital for entertainment in a movie that is about demon possession, and that is suspense. There's no suspense in this passage. I'll show you what I mean. Our passage is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 14 through 20. And here's what it says. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was when the demon had gone out, the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. That's it. No suspense there at all. And it's as if Luke only writes this really to introduce us to the next part that's coming after it. And he writes this so matter-of-factly. So when the demon had gone out, the deaf spoke and the crowd marveled. What do you know? Now, that's not the way I would write it, but that's the way the Holy Spirit inspired it. And he must want the attention focused then upon what was to come much more than upon that miracle. But I'd like to stop here for a minute and say something, actually, in case you didn't notice, I already did stop and was saying something. But before we move on, I'd like to make an observation, and that is this. Have you noticed that every time you see a demon possession in the Bible, the person who is possessed is being tortured by those demons, is tormented by them? In this case, this poor man was kept from speaking, and actually Matthew gives us a little more information and tells us the man was also blinded. And Jesus cast out this demon from this man and freed him from his torment. And Luke writes this as if it was nothing more difficult for Jesus to do than flick a gnat off of your hand. Well, he writes that that way because it was no more difficult for Jesus to do than to flick a gnat away. But another observation here is demons do not have to possess you to torment you. You ever pondered that for a moment? They don't have to possess you to torment you. Think about this. If perfect love casts out fear, if God's perfect love casts out fear, which is what the Bible says, where does all the anxiety come from? Where does all the fear come from? Perfect love casts out fear, the Bible says. Well, let's move on to the meat of the story, shall we? And here's what happened afterwards. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So some people would like to take issue with this miracle, wouldn't they? And they would like to make some kind of a foolish statement here that he was casting out demons by the ruler of the demons. The King James says prince of demons, and that's what I always want to say, is a prince of demons. But that's not all. There were others who were testing him, Luke says, and sought from him a sign from heaven. Does that seem kind of odd to you? It does to me. Isn't that what they just saw? Hello? Wasn't that a sign from heaven they just saw? These people want a sign. And And I don't think the condemnation that sounds like this passage, we'll see that in a minute, or you can read a little further on, and Jesus condemns them for seeking a sign. I don't think he's condemning them just for seeking a sign, because the Old Testament said there would be signs when the Messiah came. It's because they just saw one and it wasn't enough. And they are antagonistic with Jesus, arguing with him about who he is. And the sign is plain enough. And Jesus will make this clear now when he says this. But he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation." It is ruined, in other words. "And a house divided against itself falls. But if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, 'I cast out demons by Beelzebub.' And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out?" Apparently there were some Jewish exorcists who also were casting out demons at that time. And Jesus says, if they're casting out demons too, by whom are they casting them out? So he says, if you're going to judge me by this criteria, you better judge them by the same criteria. And instead, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, and here's the point, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So that's really what Luke is getting at here, that if Jesus casts out this demon with the finger of God, which he did, surely the kingdom has come upon you. Jesus is pleading with them to see the significance of this miracle, and they're not seeing it. Because for him to cast out demons means that he is more powerful than the demons. And who is more powerful than the demons than God himself? God the Son. Now then, we would be mistaken if we were to think that the only person in this group of people who is afflicted by demons was that demon-possessed man. He's the only one who's demon-possessed, isn't he? And we normally speak of demon possession when a demon takes over a person such that they are no longer in control of their mind or their body, rather the demon is controlling them. That's what we mean when we say demon possession. But here's a whole crowd of people who are being harassed by a demon. They're being tempted and they're being lied to by a demon. And it's easy to look at them and be sort of short with them and think, wow, I wouldn't be like that if I was there. And say about them as I did a minute ago, isn't that odd that they don't recognize who Jesus is by this miracle? Isn't it odd that they didn't see this was a sign from heaven? We don't see what's going on behind the scenes. And what's going on behind the scenes is the very thing that Jesus talked about when he told the parable of the sower. And he said some of that seed of the word, he means, lands in a heart, and before it can take root, the devil snatches it back out. Before it can make an impact on their own blind eyes, he snatches it back out. And we should have the same sympathy for them that we do for that blind and possessed man. Because when it comes to eternity, they are no better off than he was. And after the story is told, he is better off than they are. Because he has received God's grace, and they've rejected it. I'd like to say something else. That we've likely in this room have not have a single person in here who's been possessed by a demon. More than likely, all of us, by God's grace, have been inhabited by the Holy Spirit, and there's no room inside of us for a demon to take completely over. But I'll tell you something, I've been deceived by demons plenty of times. Deceived into not believing the promises of God, being harassed, listened to the demons and their temptation and the voice of demonic fear to the point where I have been mute where I should have spoken. Maybe you have too. Spoken up for something that is right, or for someone else, spoken on their behalf, or spoken of my Lord Jesus to somebody and instead been afraid because I listened to the whisperings of those temptations in my ear. My guess is that you have too. And that's why this last sentence is such a comfort. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And by saying this, what Jesus is saying is that he is taking away the devil's kingdom, and he is rescuing people from that kingdom. And he did that with his life and with his death upon the cross, and he purchased and won you from death and the devil. And by simply believing on him, placing your trust in him, everyone who believes on his name, he transfers from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and he makes them his own dear children. And when you are his own dear children, he's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. He's going to accompany you through this life with its heartaches and with its temptations. And we have a Savior here who will carry us through it all. And the fact that our Savior can flick a demon away as easily as he can flick a gnat off your arm is just a bonus. So believe it, won't you? Believe it. Receive his blessings this morning. Amen.